Recently, Jill and I were cleaning out some closets. Anybody have some closets that could use some cleaning, some decluttering? Well, we were doing that, and we ended up with several bags of stuff. And we loaded up the bags of stuff. Thank God for sabbatical, right? So you can have time to clean out your closets. And we went to the Good Shepherd Alliance. Anybody been to the Good Shepherd Alliance before? You haven't donated anything there, looking around here. Come on, let me see some hands. Let me see. Okay, good. Good. Wonderful. So we went there and pulled in the back there and started unloading stuff. And I was on my last bag of stuff and sat it down. And one of the guys working there came up and said, we appreciate the donations, but we do not accept Christmas donations, any kind of Christmas stuff. And I said, well, why not? This is some good stuff. I mean, we had a full Christmas set of plates, nice little plates with like a little Christmas tree in the middle. And I'm wondering why now, Jill, you're getting rid of them. They must have been ugly. But anyway, glasses, and we had little Santa Clauses and little we had all kind of ornaments, and we had little Christmas tree decorations. I mean, you could set your whole house up. And the guy was like, well, sir, I appreciate this stuff, but we just don't take the Christmas donations like that. So apparently, I didn't know it, but apparently the Good Shepherd Alliance doesn't just take everything. They just don't receive everything and anything that you want to give them. Didn't know that. Now, good organization. I felt like I had some good stuff. This stuff is very nice stuff. I mean, this would have been nice stuff for someone else. I mean, they're helping other people. I mean, shouldn't they just take whatever I want to give them? Now, you say, well, probably not. They have a mission. They have a job. They know what they're doing. Have you ever thought and stopped and considered, what about God? Here's a question I want to ask you. As something is so foundational and fundamental, something that we do every single week, we pass the white bucket. We're Christians, we give. Here's the question I want to ask you. Does God just accept anything and everything we give? Just want you to think about it. By the way, if you're new here and you're getting all anxious and worried, just relax. Just relax. All I'm going to do is teach. I'm going to teach for several minutes here. I'm going to reason with you. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to manipulate your emotions. I'm going to reason with you. By the way, you're free to disagree with me. Feel free to. Now, I want you to have a reason for doing so, though. Think it through. So I'm just reasoning here. Does God just accept anything we give? Lord, I give it. You receive it. Done deal. It's a transaction. That's what we do here, right? Reminded of the story in the very beginning of the Hebrew Scriptures. This is in Genesis. And two brothers were going to worship the Lord. And naturally, I guess it's just assumed, right from the beginning, they're going to worship the Lord. So they bring him a what? They bring him an offering. Cain was a farmer. And so he brings some of his crops. And Abel was a shepherd. So naturally, you can only give what you have. God never asks you to give what you don't have. In fact, God's not waiting for you to get something. We just start with where we are. So Cain is bringing something, what he has. Abel is a shepherd, and so he's bringing some of his flock to the Lord in worship to him. In fact, let's just pick it up. This is Genesis 4:3, so I don't mess it up. Let's read together. It says, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a what? As a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs of his flock. Okay, got the context, the scenario set up. Now, let's read what happens next. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain so happy. He was delighted with what God had done. No, I'm sorry. Are you reading the scriptures? What does it say? This made Cain what? Very angry. Now, can we cut Cain some slack? I'm also kind of getting angry a little bit with him. What do you mean, God? I give it and you accept it. That's how it works here, right? This is kind of like a transactional thing. I do this and you do that. What do you mean discriminating against me? I mean, that discrimination's a big deal, right? Especially today. You're differentiating between me and my brother. I mean, he gives a gift, I give a gift. Why don't you accept him? Why don't you accept me? Angry. Well, the million-dollar question, hopefully you're engaging with your mind right now. You're saying, why? Why did God discriminate? Why did he make a difference between what Cain gave and what his brother Abel gave? Now, I got to be honest, because the Hebrew scriptures are very, very vague here. Scholars aren't sure what's going on, but we get a brief hint before the story moves on, and I want to read this hint with you and see if we can't find the reason why here. This is the next verse. This is Genesis 4:6. God asks Cain a question. He says, why are you so, read it with me if you would, why are you so angry? Turn to someone right now and ask them that question right now. Just stop right now. Just some of you look, just your faces. Wow. Pastor's talking about giving. So you went, just relax. Why are you so angry? You know, our emotions, if we will allow them, if we ignore them, that's a whole another issue. But if we will pay attention to our emotions and lean in and ask ourselves, why am I feeling this way? It might lead us in a life-giving direction if we were able to address that, the root there. Cain, why are you so angry? Why are you angry with me? Look what the Lord says next. Carefully, let's pay attention to this. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Read with me. You will be accepted. Now, read this next part carefully. If you do what is... We just get a hint here. I mean, the Lord's like, you're getting angry at me. Look, why are you angry at me? Listen, I want to ask, I'm going to look, I wish we could just stop right now. I could see God said, why are you angry at me? Don't you know your gift, your offering, your worship? Be accepted. I don't want to not accept it, but I can't accept it if you don't do what's right. So, let's go back to that original question. I'm just reasoning with you. Doesn't God just accept whatever we give? It's just, Lord, here it is. You take it. No, I'm sorry. Let me suggest, there seems to be something more going on here when we give to the Lord. Let me give you one more example. There are so many in scriptures. Let's fast forward. Now we're in the 8th century B.C. It's about 742 B.C. The nation of Israel now is established. There is a court government pastor, if you will, prophet, a spokesman for the Lord. And the king had him as his spokesman for the Lord. He would go to him, ask for advice and counsel, and ask for prayer, much like the late Billy Graham was to so many presidents. Well, here's Isaiah, and he's a counselor to the kings, King Uzziah, King Hezekiah, King Ahaz. And the only problem is during this time in the 8th century B.C. was the religion, the Israelite religion, had lost its heart and passion, and it had become corrupt. What are you talking about, Pastor Charlie? in just one of the ways. It became corrupt in so many ways. In one of the ways, they had wedded, there was an unholy alliance between religion and government and politics. Basically, the religion was basically rubber stamping anything the state wanted to do in the name of God. This unholy alliance, and Isaiah's in the middle of that, and he stands up to teach and to speak for God in the king's court. So imagine like that today. It would be like a pastor standing up, and there's the president, there's the 9 Supreme Court justices, there's all the House of Representatives, there's all the senators, there's all the leaders of the land. And Isaiah is standing there, and he's going to speak for the Lord. Now, I want you we're going to get a brief example of his text, of what he spoke. This is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. This is what he puts in the mouth of the Lord. Read it with me if you would. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? Now hold on. I know this is easy for us to read, but imagine the king sitting there. All the leaders. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? Keep reading with me if you would. I am sick of your what? Remember the original question we're talking about. Doesn't the Lord just accept every gift that we give? I'm sick of your offerings. When you come to worship me, read with me if you will, when you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? It would be just like Isaiah was saying, when you come to church, that was God's house. When king, leaders, when you come to God's house, who asked you to parade around and all your ceremony? God's not asked you to do that. As if religion, and this is what really had happened, religion was just becoming a ceremony. You know, something that you just go through the motions with. You know, we're in church, pastor, you know, preach a nice little message. I'll come in, I'll give a little thing. It'll be a transaction. I'll do my thing. God, you have to do your thing. We'll just go through the thing here. That's what religion is, right? I never asked you to do that. Then look what Isaiah puts in the Lord's lips. Come on, keep reading with me. He says, stop bringing me your meaningless, say those two words, meaningless, come on, say them again, meaningless. Now we're getting to the heart of it. Stop bringing me your meaninglessness. I want no more. I want no more of your pious meetings. It's tough for me to stomach your gatherings together. Now, wow. Thank you, Isaiah. I'm just loving. Yeah. Amen. Woo-hoo-hoo. Stop bringing me. Now, let's just pause right here for a moment. You will never hear this pastor say, stop bringing your offerings to church. I mean, really, I'm just being honest. You're not going to hear me say that. I mean, I don't think you'll ever hear a church say, you know, stop bringing your gifts to the Lord. I mean, but God said it. And here's the thing. Here's the thing I want you to see. The church, this church, will always gladly receive your offerings. Always. In fact, we bite them, we ask for them, but isn't there something more? Come on. I mean, so what if the church receives them? Don't you want the Lord to receive it? That's the issue. Lord, I'm glad that Pastor Charlie and the church receive it, but hopefully your prayer is, Lord, when I give, I want my offering, my giving, to be pleasing and acceptable, Lord, not just to the church, but, Lord, but to you. So that begs the question. We're going to skip several fill in the blanks, and some of you are like, so look at your notes. Come on, look at your notes. We're going to jump right down to the $1 million. Okay, if that's true, something so fundamental in worship as giving. In fact, there's no worship without giving. If you think you're worshiping the Lord and there's no giving, just trust me. Whenever we worship the Lord, it always involves us acknowledging Him and giving to Him. So something so fundamental, let's ask the question, how do I give something that's acceptable and pleasing to the Lord? I want to be very careful here as I'm teaching and walking through this, especially for those who've grown up in the church or maybe you're a tither. For those, and I thank God for you, for those who give their tithes, is just giving that tithe mean that it's acceptable and pleasing to the Lord? I'm asking you. I'm asking you to think about it. Is it just about a number? Just about a transaction? Just about, Lord, okay. How do we then, Pastor, how do we give an acceptable and a pleasing gift to the Lord? It's amazing that when we come to Scripture, the principles haven't changed. The way we do it has changed. You know, we're not a hunter-gatherer society. We're not like Abel, right? I'm going to bring the firstborn, the best firstborn of the flock. I'm not keeping that firstborn for myself. I'm going to take that the best and bring it to the Lord. And we're not growing crops and bartering with that. No, we're in a monetary system now. We have credit cards, we have apps, we have online banking, we have all this stuff. But listen to me, the worship of God hasn't changed. How are we going to give acceptable and pleasing offerings to Him? Paul gives us a hint. Let's fast forward. Now we're in the New Testament, we're in the Christian scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul's writing, a follower of Jesus. He's now writing to the Corinthian church about their giving. And he says these words. Let's pick it up. We're going to read just a couple sentences together. 9:6, he says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also what? Reap sparingly. Whoever sows will also what? Wow. Big spiritual principle right there. Let's read it again. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. You can disagree with it. You can disagree with Paul. It's fine. Just reason with him. And then he comes to verse 7. Let's keep going. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's wrap this up two ways, two principles, timeless principles for giving an acceptable gift to God. Number one is we are to give thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. We think about our giving, and we are very careful not to let our giving degenerate into a thoughtless gift. This is important, a thoughtless gift. Look at the sentence again, what Paul tells the Corinthian church. Each of you should give. Look at the phrase, read it with me, what you have, what? Decided in your heart, what? To give. Literally, in the Greek, it means that decided in the heart means to determine ahead of time. It means I've thought about it and I've taken some time. It means to decide on beforehand. It means I'm giving on purpose. There it is. It's not accidental giving. It's not sporadic giving. That's not how we give an acceptable gift to the Lord. No, it's something that we have purposed in our heart and we've decided beforehand. I've actually sat down, looked at the books and said, Lord, this is what I want to give to you. I purposed it. You might start right now purposing in your heart, you know what, in 2019 and a year from now in the big gift, I'm going to do this for the Lord. That is thinking about it and planning your gift to the Lord. And it's pleasing to Him when we purpose in our heart and think about what our gifts are. The exact opposite attitude, listen to me, is not how we worship the Lord. It's not how we give a pleasing gift to Him. What's that attitude look like? Well, Pastor Charlie, I gotta be honest, I just give whatever's in my pocket. You know, I just reach down and whatever's there, I just kind of just throw it in the bucket. That's fine, listen to me. That's fine, the church will receive it, Pastor Charlie will receive it, we'll do all kind of things to bless other people, but listen, don't you want the Lord to be pleased with your giving to Him? The opposite of planning your giving is an attitude of, Lord, if I have anything left over, you'll get it. Want to take care of all the other stuff first, and we know this, and I've talked through this before, that for God to be truly worshiped, He cannot be worshiped as a leftover God, as the second or third or fourth, you know, of importance. God, these things are what's important first. I take care of them, then I'll get you yours. No, you can do that, and the church will receive it. But do you ever think that God's a personal being? He has emotions and feelings. That's why you have feelings. How does that make Him feel? For worship to be true and honest and sincere and pleasing to Him, He has to be worshiped as first. So that's why in the Old Testament, I know we have a monetary system now, but He said, bring the first fruits of your crops. You know, in harvest time, bring all the harvest. You know what they would do if they would please God? The very first part of the harvest, they'd say, okay, let's go to God's house with that. And acknowledge Him. Lord, my health, my strength, the crops, everything I have comes from You. I just want to acknowledge You. So, a couple little things in your notes. Tests. Let's test ourselves. So what's this look like? If someone were to ask you, this is just, no one's going to ask you, so relax. Again, relax. You got all tight again. Relax. Things are going to be all right. If someone were to ask you, hey, what's your percent annually? What's the percent annually you give to the Lord? And you were, just pretend. I know you were like, wow, that's a good question. I never thought of it. I stop right there. I've never thought about it. If you don't think about your offering, we shouldn't expect God to think much about it either. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor Charlie? To give something acceptable to Him, we pause and we stop. And we think, okay, Lord, this is the amount I want to give to You, and I want to honor you with this. If we don't know what our giving is, what our charitable giving is, it may indicate that we're putting very little thought behind it. Here's the reality in your notes. If our giving doesn't mean much to us, if it doesn't mean much to us, then we shouldn't expect it to mean much to God either. So, Pastor, what are you asking? What's going on here? I want with all of my heart, including Jill and myself, for our offerings to be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. What are you asking us to do? Number one, examine. Here's the challenge. Examine your giving. Think about it. Where are you? Where are you with the national average? Do you know that all kinds of people give? Not just Christians. But Christians should far be superior in our generosity than anybody else. Why? Because our founder, that's who we are. Examine your giving, think about it, make a decision, look at your notes, and follow through on a plan. Lord, I purposed. I'm going to give on purpose. You know, we can think through so many things. Get all worked up. What school am I going to go to? What restaurant we're going to eat? What kind of cell phone plan is the best for us? Let me sit down and think and strategize. Why don't we do the same thing with our giving to the Lord? In your notes, here's a little secret benefit if you'll do this. If you'll think about your giving, I'm telling you, this is a secret benefit. If you'll think about your giving, you won't feel pressured or guilted into all kind of things that present themselves throughout the year. For $9.99, if you send it in right now, you can help one of these dogs live. They are precious. Call right now and save just one. No, I'm serious. And I'm not knocking that. I can sit there, tears coming down my eye. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then the next commercial, and then I can't even go get groceries anymore. Hey, do you want to give a dollar at the end of this? And then I come over here, and then I come over here. Do you know what? You might think this is callous of me, but it's not callous. There's not one ounce of guilt in me at all whenever I see those things, and I can say, you know what? No. No thank you. No thank you. No. How could you ever do such a thing? Why? Because I'm doing my part already. I'm supporting God's plan A, not a plan B, not a plan C, not even a plan D. I'm supporting God's plan A to unleash blessing on the world. What is that through? That's through His church. By the way, but I've stopped some people before and they say, would you like to give this? And I say, no, I already give over 10% of my income to other people. Look at me all shocked. Now, other people who do not think through their giving, yes, they're just pulled in all kinds of directions. They haven't thought about it. But I know when I'm giving, planting seeds of hope here and giving here, that I'm helping teenagers in this county, that I'm helping children in this county, that I'm helping abused women in this county, that I'm helping feed food insecure people in this county, that I'm helping the kids in the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. I'm helping all kind of things that the church is involved. I'm a part of that in Jesus' name. So I can just simply, just very nicely, no, thank you. No, thank you. Thoughtfully. The second way that we give an acceptable offering to the Lord is we give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. Can we just practice something right now? Could you just try to smile? I mean, I'm looking at some of you here. You're just struggling with this. Just struggling. Look, it's killing some of you. Really? You know, I was, what's the scripture say? He loves a what? Cheerful giver. Yeah, I was praying about this, and honestly, I felt like there would be some of us who are listening today who you've lost your joy in giving. I don't know if that's you, but I want you to wrestle with what the Spirit of God's saying. You can give all day. You can give this. You can give that. You can give this. But listen, if you've lost your joy, your thankfulness, Lord, I get to be a part of something that's bigger than my little world. I get to be a part of something that's bigger than me. I get to be a part of helping and saving and bringing hope, Lord. And I'm just so, in fact, when is the last time we've come to church and said, it's time to take their offering? And everybody went, yes! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Oh, go! Yes, I can't wait! I'm so excited about the offering, just enthusiastic about it. You say, well, that never, well, listen to me. Why not? If the Lord loves that, why not? When did we lose our joy and get to being part of the kingdom of God? God was a giver, and I also get a chance to be a giver and a contributor to His cause on the earth. Well, you're just taking it too far now, Pastor. I just can't do that. I'm just, I don't give cheerfully. I give worriedly. That's how I give. I'm not sure things are going to be done right here. Let me look around. see all the people being blessed, see all the life and joy, and you're still going, I'm not sure this is real. Cheerfully. I love a cheerful giver. You know, how can I give cheerfully? I thought about this. You know what? At the end of the day, you know how Jill and I were able to give cheerfully? It's because at the end of the day, I know and I trust God's got my back. Amen. I trust him. This isn't just about me living on my own strength. No, I'm living with the tangible help and strength of God, and I trust in the Lord. Now, I want to get ready. This is the reason why some of you came to church to hear this. We're going to read one more passage of scripture. Look at it. Here's the idea. If we get our worship right, it puts us in a position to be blessed by God. Each of you, look at it again. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. We've already read that, to give. Not reluctantly. Oh, gosh, I have to. For God loves an enthusiastic and cheerful giver. Now look at, it keeps going. Look at these promises. And God is what? Come on, God is what? Some of you have lost your joy because you forgot God is able. I'm going to say it again. Some of you just came to church to hear that. God is able to abundantly bless you. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. God is able to bless you. That's why I'm able to give cheerfully, because I know where my blessing come from and who is my blessing. God is able to bless. Let's keep going. God is able to bless you somewhat so that, I'm sorry, abundantly, so that in some things, in some times, having some things you need, you'll barely scrape by. And the thing I've called, I'm sorry, I'm reading a satanic Bible. I'm sorry. Verse 8, I'm sorry. God is able to bless you what? Abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, he who supplies, this is God, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. They ever just stop? Do we know where food comes from? I know where the grocery store. I know, but before that, ultimately, Lord, my supply comes from you. Some of us have forgotten that. Lord, wait a second, Lord. My supply comes from you. You are able to bless me, Lord. And you're not just blessing me so I can bless you're blessing me so I can be, Lord, a blessing. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also, read with me, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the what? The harvest. Some of you just refusing. Verse 11, you will be enriched in. You know what every way means? So not just my finances. Some of you, you're blessed there. You don't need help there. You don't need favor on a job. You got all that taken care of. But you need God's help with your kids, your marriage, your relationship. You will be enriched in every way so that. There it is. That so that's such an important. So that, Lord, you can help me be generous on every single occasion, Lord. I'm able to give cheerfully, not grudgingly or because I have to, Lord, because not only am I thankful, not only is it something I ought to do, not only do I want to see your kingdom come, Lord, but I give cheerfully because you're my blessing. I trust you, Lord, you've got my back and you're able to bless me in ways, Lord, I don't even understand. Let's pray right now. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that as there's an attitude adjustment, there it is, as we change the way that we give to you, oh my goodness, here it is. Lord, you're going to begin to move us and bless us in ways, God, that we haven't really experienced yet, but it's on the way. Lord, as our worship and as our giving, Lord, comes into alignment with you. In Jesus' name. Come on. In Jesus' name, all of us said. All of us said what? Amen. 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 Okay. So we're going to shift gears a little bit here. This is a special time of the year for us. And I want everyone to, the seat backs in front of you, grab these cards. Start passing them around. Start passing them around. Not everyone has a seat back in front of them. So grab a handful. Pass them around. Pass them around. Pass them around. Here we go. We got the, thank you, Rachel. Got the big gift chest up here. Set that here. Everyone got one. Everyone got one. Everyone got one. Now relax. Relax. Calm down. This is how we close every single service with what? Our offerings. The white buckets are coming down. Now here's where it gets complicated. Super complicated. So here's the instructions. Here we go. The white buckets are coming down. Inside the white buckets are going our regular tithes and offerings, our giving. Our regular, it's what we do to make God's house just operate and go on. In this chest is going a special offering. This is called our big give. Well, what in the world's that? I'm new here. Pull this out. Let's look at it. I want us all to read together on the back sheet here. Let's go. You ready? Every year at Community, we emphasize year-end giving through what we call, and no one is reading with me. Okay, here we go. Every year at Community, we emphasize year-end giving through what we call the big give. During the busy Christmas season, the big give challenges us to pause and actually remember Jesus by coming to his house and bringing him our very best gift over and above our regular giving. This is a special, over-the-top gift. This is a once-a-year deal, something special, something out of the ordinary, buying gifts for everybody else, and we stop and say, wait a second, Lord, I want to remember you and your cause. Now, let's look here. Remember, come on, keep going. Remember, the big give allows the church to bring hope to so many through, I want you to read with me. You remember last week I talked about our vision. We have four lanes to our vision. Look at it. Firescape, that's our teenage ministry. Do you know in 2019 we want to go from spending $30,000 on teenagers in a year to $120,000? I talked about that in our vision. We're going to go after teenagers like we never have before in 2019. The county's crying out for someone to do something. It's going to take some resources. We can do it. Firescape, our children's ministry, our Messiah's Market, just those three programs, our food pantry, just those three programs right there, that's right at $200,000. Mobile Hope, you see Mobile Hope, and our Angel Tree. Last year we helped 200 kids. This year we're trying to bless 600 kids through our partnership with Mobile Hope. Yesterday we had a whole bunch of people shopping, buying bicycles and buying gifts for families that are going to need help. Listen, we purchased those believing, I already know, you guys are so generous, the church is going to respond. From 200 to 600 kids. The party, by the way, is happening this Saturday. We're going to be distributing all. So if we had just Mobile Hope and planting the new church in Raleigh, Praxis Church, now we're up to 285, and we're just going to keep going and go, Pastor Charlie, why are you telling us all this? I don't like when church talks about numbers. Well, listen, I'm not even setting I don't want to set a giving numerical goal for this, the big give, even though it matters. We need some big, 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 huge, outstanding, miraculous gifts. But what I would like to set as a participation goal, we had 423, who was counting? 423 participate last year. What if 500 of us participated? What could we do? Okay? So here's what we're going to do. White buckets are going to come around. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to sing another song. The white buckets are coming around. Now, when you're ready, the special offering is going to be right here. Turn it over. Look right here. You can put your name. Now, look up here. I just taught on how to give an acceptable gift. If you're not ready, if you need to think about it, If you need to pray about it, if you're not sure, don't do anything yet. Take this home, put a magnet, put it on your refrigerator, put it somewhere you see it, pray about it all week, thinking about it, Lord, what is it? Come back next Sunday, guess what's still going to be here? Big gift chest is still going to be here, and if you're ready then you can put it in, okay? No pressure. You can put it in then. I'll be talking about something else, not on giving next week, but the big chest will still be here next week. Looking for understanding in eyes. You good? You know what's happening? So when you're ready, folks, if you're giving in cash, make sure you put it in an envelope, a big give envelope, and put it in here. If you're giving check, we'll be able to see that. Even if you're giving online, real quick, I'd still like for you to turn a card in and put in here what you're giving online. And would you put a prayer? This is what I'm believing God for in 2019. And remember this, remember the passage, God is able to abundantly bless you. Remember that. You put that prayer and put it in here. Let's stand. So as we sing, when you're ready, you can move. Lord, I pray that our offerings today would be pleasing, honorable, and accepted, Lord, by you. In Jesus' name, all of us said, amen.